Much of what has been targeted towards me and my team has been half-truths or, at best, stories that have been so twisted that they do not resemble reality. And I'm here, and I welcome the chance to be here, to set the record straight in these areas. But let's have no illusions about what was really going on here. Those who have attacked the EPA and attacked me are doing so because they want to attack and derail the president's agenda and undermine this administration's priorities. I'm simply not going to let that happen.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, and that is EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt testifying on Capitol Hill on Thursday. Right now, there are 10 congressional oversight inquiries into Scott Pruitt's actions at the EPA, looking into his spending on security and travel, as well as reports of favorable deals on a Washington, D.C. condo, not to mention Inspector General investigations in the EPA as well. Nearly 170 Senate Democrats and House Democrats have signed a resolution calling for Scott Pruitt to resign. Those calls grew louder on Capitol Hill yesterday.
I've held back on doing this as some of my other colleagues have, but I think I'm going to say it clearly and straight to you because I think you deserve that. But Mr. Pruitt, I think it's time that you resign.
That's Democratic Congresswoman Betty McCollum of Minnesota there. Meanwhile, a lot of Republicans stood by Scott Pruitt. Here's Congressman Joe Barton from Oil Country in Texas.
Mr. Administrator, you're not the first person to be the victim of, for lack of a better term, Washington politics. In Washington, you attack the personality, and that's what's happening to you.
Alexander Kaufman has been watching it all. He's a climate reporter for HuffPost. Alex, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Alex, Scott Pruitt is under scrutiny for a range of ethical violations and overspending. We can deal with these in turn. They range from first-class travel, inappropriately getting pay raises for employees and then lying about it, demoting people who disagreed with him, getting a sweetheart housing arrangement from a lobbyist. What did we learn yesterday about Scott Pruitt and the cloud over him? Did that cloud thin at all?
Not really. I mean, he did do one thing, which is he admitted to the fact that he did understand and authorize the pay raises that were given to two of his political appointees that joined him at the EPA from Oklahoma. But beyond that, you know, he really recycled a lot of these very familiar defenses where he deflected the blame to those who are looking to attack his political agenda and, you know, media that he blames for telling half-truths or outright lying about him.
Now, you said he acknowledged knowing about the pay raises that have been under question. He said before in the media that he knew nothing about the pay raises, that he didn't order them. Yesterday, the difference seems like Scott Pruitt was under oath.
That's true. He wasn't technically under oath. The Democrats had requested that he testify under oath, and the Republicans on the committee instead said that it's already a crime to lie in congressional testimony, so it would have been redundant. But it's true that, you know, he was facing intense scrutiny over this. The news cycle had a way of playing out on that. He had initially told Fox News in a surprisingly tense interview that he was unaware of this and that he had only found out the day before. You know, that was later came out in more reports that was not the case and that there were documents showing that wasn't the case. And, you know, he was sort of forced to admit to that in this testimony yesterday.
And did we get any more light shined on some of the other serious allegations, the below market rooming deal that Scott Pruitt allegedly had with somebody who was lobbying him on EPA issues, or even first-class travel, where Scott Pruitt claimed to need to fly first class at taxpayers' expense because of dangers to his safety?
It wasn't so much that new information came out, but what was illuminating is the way that many of the Republicans circled the wagon on him to defend those things that he was doing. At one point, Congressman Barton, who you quoted in the introduction, you know, suggested that because, you know, it wasn't necessarily the most savory of things for him to be taking these first-class flights, but he wasn't renting a party jet, and therefore it wasn't really a big problem. And, you know, earlier this week, Bloomberg reported that there was a White House directive telling Republicans to temper their defenses of Pruitt, which many interpreted as a sign that he could be losing support from the president. But that was not on display from the Republicans on the committees yesterday.
All right, well, people are going to be watching to see if Scott Pruitt keeps the support of the president, whether he survives at the EPA. A lot of Republicans certainly seem to want him to stay. Let's turn to some of the substance, some of the policy inside the EPA, because these were oversight hearings, and there were some policy discussions as well. Scott Pruitt last week or earlier this week quietly signed a directive that's now getting some attention. Here's how Scott Pruitt described it when he was asked.
It's an agency taking responsibility for how we do our work in respecting process, in making sure that we do engage in a transparent process to inform the American people so that we can, what, enhance confidence in our decision making.
Now, what he's talking about with that political speak there is a new directive that changes the way the EPA takes in and disseminates scientific information. Can you explain?
Sure. So it's important to note that this was a proposal, so it will have to go through the typical rulemaking process, which means, and the EPA has said this repeatedly, perhaps to temper some of the criticism, that there will be a long comment period where people can lodge their concerns. But essentially what this is doing is mandating that any rules that are used to write regulations have to release the full raw data. The problem with that is that many of these very important epidemiological studies that are used to craft things like air pollution rules, grant some level of anonymity to people that are sharing information about their personal health. And, you know, the EPA has sort of countered, saying that, you know, there are precautions that can be taken to redact some of that information. But yesterday, you know, Democrats really hammered him on this. And one Democrat who represents a rural district noted that even redacting a few details in a rural area, even a few details can be really identifying of an individual. And there are very big privacy concerns. And the overarching point of this that a lot of scientists and environmental groups have warned about is that this is essentially clearing the way for corporate-funded studies to really take the place of big pollution studies that have indicated things like asthma and increased respiratory problems around things like refineries.
Scott Pruitt says all along that this is about increasing transparency. We'll see where that rule goes. Well, before we let you go, look, is Scott Pruitt any more secure in his job or alternatively any closer to getting fired than he was before these hearings?
It's difficult to say. He certainly had a good performance yesterday. And for a media-obsessed president who watches a lot of television, he wouldn't have seen any utter wipeouts that would have, you know, maybe made his support wane. But who knows?
Republicans circling the wagons around Scott Pruitt at the EPA. So says Alexander Kaufman, covering climate for HuffPost. Alexander, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.